You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 29 October. We've got Meta, Microsoft and Alphabet results after US close today. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments. Bowen results, really nice set of numbers there. And we buy cars. The market did not like that trading update, but maybe this is a better price point for an entry. Dylan Govender from Investec Business Banking. Local ports, we are seeing steady improvement. That is good news. And then Sekle Tuta from Prime XBT. On regulation and building trust in the trading and crypto space. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Maersk set to boost Cape Town exports with a 1.7 billion rand cold storage hub. Facility signals new momentum in private sector investment in SA's logistics sector. And from Bloomberg, President Trump and President Xi Jinping meeting in Korea tomorrow. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.25%, NASDAQ 0.75% higher. The Easters are mixed and closed. We got Sydney down 1%, we got Tokyo up a little over 2%, and then Hong Kong is closed for Chang Yang Festival, which also means no 10-cent trading. Commodities mostly red, gold futures 3,989, Brent 64.31, platinum is the only commodity green at 1,576. Palladium 1,419. We got the rand at 17.15. Bitcoin 112,500. And top 40 opening call looking for a green open. 170 points, almost 0.2% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the time. Bowen Properties, stocks up quite nicely over the last year. And these were, I thought, a really good set of numbers. I mean, we can talk around base effect, absolutely. But the short version is they're pushing revenue, they're selling more homes. And perhaps those are the two key metrics. Your thoughts on the Bowen numbers that came out yesterday?
Yes, so macro is certainly playing a role here. I think lower interest rates has helped stimulate the residential property market, and then lower inflation as well, because I think it's really helped with disposable income. So people feel more comfortable to make a purchase of an apartment. Bowen apartments are very well priced in the entry and mid-level market. So I think it's appealing, right? It's a type of lifestyle opportunity. So yes, very good momentum. Western Cape standing out. Gauteng actually also posting a really nice recovery, which is encouraging as someone living and owning property in Johannesburg. But yeah, I think complemented by that annuity business. And I mean, the share price has done well, but this company is still trading at a 69% discount to net asset value.
Yes. Net asset value, 9 rand 46.03, but let's leave it. Let's call it 9.50. And I take your point. I mean, trading sub 3 rand, which is just mind-boggling. It is still cheap. We see similar in Calgary M3, also trading massive discount to net asset value. We Buy Cars, hugely successful listing. Stock's been doing incredibly well. Some would say perhaps too incredibly well. And then the trading update yesterday, which on the surface was a little bit light as per expectation. I don't know that it was sort of 15% down light. Your thoughts? And I mean, do we now sit, you know, forward PE maybe 20-ish? Maybe this is some value here rather than the much higher prices we saw earlier in the year for We Buy Cars.
Yes, it was certainly a shock to the system, 15% down in We Buy Cars. But I mean, it's not pick and pay, right? This is a business that continues to grow. And we did see a very sharp slowdown in growth in that second half of the reporting period. So between April and the end of September. So just for context, in the first half, Underlying profit grew by 26.4%. Mm-hmm. This trading statement implies that that growth slowed to 9.9%. So it's still growing. But I think the market was expecting it to continue to grow kind of in the 20s. So in that frame, it was quite a sizable miss. I think one of the things that we probably didn't appreciate as analysts around the We Buy Cars story is there is a measure of new car sales displacement that could have taken place in this period. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been talking about new car sales just absolutely blasting through the roof over the last few months. And I had a look at the graph, and you can actually see it pick up so meaningfully from April, so exactly in this reporting period. So my sense is that is the issue. I don't think that the momentum longer term for this business is something to be concerned about. We'll probably see a bit of a pullback in near term estimates because the base is going to be a little bit lower. But that will also depend on the detail and the results, right? We don't have the detail yet. In terms of valuation, it's now on a 15 times forward PE. So okay. I think it's compelling. I think it's compelling. There's a longer-term structural growth story here, but it's going to be cyclical. It's a cyclical business.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But I like your point around that. I can pick up a fairly decent, actually a very nice, brand-new Chinese car for what? I don't know, 300,000. I hadn't thought. That competes directly with a second-hand car I could buy. But I take your point. 15 forward PE, it's not necessarily onerous at all. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning poll today. Do you think there's some value down there after that sell-off? We might see a little more weakness still in the days ahead, but have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Dylan Govender. He's head of supply chain at Investec Business Banking. Dylan, always appreciate the early morning time. South African ports, there was an article or a report out earlier in the year about our ports. I think we were right down at the bottom, and in some cases perhaps absolutely at the bottom. But there is a sense of some momentum building. There's news reports this morning around Maersk doing a cold storage in Cape Town. Are we seeing some progress at our ports across South Africa?
Morning, Simon, and thank you for having me. Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're seeing much improvement. I think it's long been realized that the logistics sector is the backbone of our GDP. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of plans that's been put into action over the last 12 months, a lot of confidence that's coming across from the Transnet executive team. And we're seeing deliverables actually come through now in terms of investment, in terms of equipment improvements. In the last month, we've had about 4 cranes in the Durban port to the value of 967 million being commissioned. And our biggest problem in terms of our logistics has always been equipment breakdown, equipment breakdown and weather conditions. Weather, we can't control that. But in terms of the equipment breakdowns, there's been huge investment that's gone in, and it's actually starting to show that the throughput through Durban at the moment for the last few weeks is approximately 30% up just because of these equipment, new equipment that's been delivered.
That's actually quite a staggering number. And then, of course, the Pier 2 court case has been resolved. Transnet is spending, I mean, you mentioned there the cranes, almost a billion. They're looking at 100 plus billion over the next 5 years. There are proper steps being taken. And a significant pickup in throughput just on, I know I say just, a billion rand spend on cranes.
Simon, extremely exciting times for South Africa. I mean, that the overturning of that court case means the investment of ICTSI, a Philippines-based company, into Durban Pier 2 over the next 25 years. That 25 years includes, I think, about $680 million worth of investment from an international company into South Africa. And you must realize the expertise that they bring into our country as well. ICTSI manages, I think, Melbourne Port, Mexico Port, quite a few international ports. So you can imagine the expertise that they'll be bringing into our country in terms of automation, equipment flow, process management, those sort of things. So, like I say, extremely exciting times in terms of logistics for South Africa.
In a sense, I mean, things are absolutely happening, but we're actually really in this is very much the early days in it. If we chat in a year's time, 2 years' time, there's going to be multiples better off as we gain that momentum and go through.
100%, but South Africa's always been resilient, and I think when you start seeing the tide changing, it just creates that excitement in the air. Aside from that, there you got the grey listing dropping.
No, it feels a great week to be South African. What
it
about
does.
global tariffs? I mean, how are they? I mean, they must be reshaping sort of how freight is moving. President Trump is in South Korea at the moment. He's been in Asia. I think he's landing in South Korea later today. What are we seeing in terms of a reshaping of how freight moves around the world with these new import levies and tariffs that the US is imposing?
Yes, Simon, trade wars are always going to be there. Trade flows, the shipping lines are adopting in terms of which routes are more profitable for them. But there's been large vessel capacity injected into the market. As much as they have smaller vessels calling South Africa at the moment, creating a bit of capacity constraints, but it's nothing that we won't get over in terms of the resilience of our country. We've seen in the last week, certain MSC, for example, one of the shipping lines, mentioned investment in South Africa ports just because they're seeing improvement from the Transnet side. So they're looking at building a ship restoration or repair yard within the port terminal. Trade routes will always be affected, but there is high demand for goods coming into South Africa, and we'll always see shipping lines moving to that profitability as well.
How flexible are shipping lines? I mean, my absolute novice thought is, well, you just send the ship to a different port. I imagine it's maybe not quite that easy, but there must be a fair bit of flexibility. If I don't know, demand from some market wanes or rises, the ship is able to respond with a fair degree of speed.
We've seen it over the last 2 years, Simon, in terms of just freight flow around the world with the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, that blockage, cargo being routed around the tip of Africa. What happens across the world affects us in logistics and supply chain in South Africa itself. But shipping lines have always responded very quickly, and according to their profit gains as well. They'll always look for the most profitable route, but they'll ensure that there's adequate capacity. I mean, we've been through it over the last 5 years in logistics with COVID, with the port congestions, and we just seem to get through over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I mean, there's tangible things happening on the ground. That is what's exciting. I like your point. We can't control the weather, but what we can control at this point, we are doing it, and it's going in the right direction. Dylan Govender, Head of Supply Chain, Investec Business Banking. Always appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
This interview is brought to you by Prime XBT. Discover what's possible with Prime XBT. I'm chatting with Sekle Tuta. He's head of region at Prime XBT South Africa. Sekle, appreciate the time this morning. I want to talk around regulation and how it's kind of creating trust in an industry. And a lot of folks, 5, 10 years ago, if we look at crypto, if we look at derivative trading, most notably contract for difference, CFDs, there wasn't much particularly aimed at those industries. We've come a long way since then, and it is an important foundation of the industry as we sit here in late 2025.
Absolutely, Simon. Good morning to all of your listeners at home. Regulation has come a long way, Simon, I think, in the last decade. I think our local regulator, the FSCA, is obviously doing a fantastic job in regulating the industry just to ensure that all the stakeholders are protected. I mean, you will understand that within the CFD space, particularly Forex, there tends to be a lot of fly-by-night companies and individuals who like to take advantage of the others who are less in the know. So that's where the regulation comes in. I mean, we've got a very competent regulator who's doing a great job in actively sort of regulating this industry. So, I mean, like with our company, we are regulated by the FSCA, and should any of our clients feel aggrieved after, exhausting all the internal client processes, they can obviously, approach the regulator for some recourse. So the regulator is there to provide recourse to any client who feels otherwise aggrieved.
I take your point on that. Absolutely. That's what they're there for, the aggrieved client. They're also there to ensure, I imagine, sort of standards and processes within Prime XBT around, for example, compliance and the like. So there's an internal component to it, which a lot of clients simply might not see at all, but makes it a better experience.
Most definitely. I mean, one thing that most consumers or clients don't realize is that as a company that accepts client deposits, all client funds have to be segregated. They can't be kept in the same bank account that is used for business operations. So that's one of the things, you know, that the regulator holds us accountable to. So I think it's all about accountability. I mean, the regulator is there to ensure that all companies that operate as FSPs are accountable, in put it simply.
A key point is that our regulations are also to a global standard, which they always have been, but that is an important point. I want to move on to sort of the evolving trader. And I started trading back in the 90s where, you know, my prices were delayed sometimes in the newspaper. I used to phone my stockbroker. There is a whole, the traders these days, they are savvy, they're informed, they're online and digital, and they demand a lot in the space. And in many cases, they're getting it because the service levels and quality of platforms really is outstanding.
Most definitely, Simon. And over and above that, today's traders are actually much younger. I mean, especially in the crypto space, we've seen an adoption of crypto within the younger guys who are obviously a techno savvy, who are more sort of informed, they're more digital and more selective. And of course, you know, empowerment for them means more than just leverage or pricing in the products that they're trading. I mean, it's about knowledge, it's about fairness. Most of these guys scrutinize what they're being charged in spread, in commissions, you know, and they want to be in control, whether it's trading on the app, on their phone, whether it's trading on their desktop. So Primex Beat is as an example, we've built our approach around five pillars, basically, which is excellence in our offering, in trust, because our pricing is transparent, and obviously competitiveness. I mean, as an example, our pricing on gold CFD is, I would argue, that it's second to none, you know, and obviously in integrity, we really pride ourselves in the integrity of all our services. And obviously we take a very client-focused approach. We want to excel in serving our clients here in South Africa and across the continent. So, we definitely have realized that, you know, the trading community is getting younger and younger as opposed to the olden days when trading services were only available to guys were, you know, in their 30s or 40s who had access to a more disposable income.
Yeah.
The industry is attracting younger guys now.
I like that point because, I mean, these traders are they savvy, but they're also getting levels of services, which, as you say, used to be available to high net worths or, frankly, institutions. I mean, I look at the platforms these days and I think back to the sort of trading platforms I would have seen in, you know, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. They're getting institutional level access and data and feeds.
Most definitely, Simon. And I think also part of the reason is because, you know, this generation of traders we have today also want to take things in their own hands. I mean, they realize that they need to be invested in a pension fund if it's somebody who has a 9-to-5. But I think they also want to be proactive in learning how to manage their own money as opposed to relying on some hedge fund or some money manager out there to make decisions about their financial future. Yes, there is still a place for money managers, no mistake. But I think this generation really wants to learn how to manage their own money and make their own money decisions.
That's a great point, because it's not just around that trading tech. And to be clear, the tech is there and the tech is world class. But it's around partnerships. It's around education. It's around working with communities, I imagine, at the same time, as well as affiliates in the business.
Most definitely, Simon. I think our business model will only thrive, you know, when value is shared. And that's why we don't only just invest in the trading technology that we offer our clients, but also in partnerships, you know, like our affiliates who were responsible for bringing us, you know, local clients, you know, introducing the brand to the public. Also educators, which is who are part of the ecosystem, who make it their business to educate new traders or new investors about trading and investing. And obviously local communities. I mean, our initiatives, such as, for example, the educational sponsorship, where we sponsor local schools, depending on what their needs are, and a part of a wider effort to obviously strengthen our financial literacy and inclusion in South Africa, in South Africa's evolving marketplace.
Yeah, and it is that financial literacy. I mean, there's a bit at school, but it's, I don't know, the stuff that you're at school doesn't look real to me. This is real world financial literacy. We'll leave it there. That's Sihle Tutar. He's head of region, Prime XBT South Africa. Appreciate the time.
This interview was brought to you by Prime XBT. Prime XBT, empowering traders to succeed.
Prime XBT is an FSCA-regulated multi-asset broker, bringing together trust, innovation, and expertise to empower traders to succeed. Trade across global markets, from forex and crypto to commodities, shares, and indices, all in one place. Built for performance, they offer industry-leading conditions and next-generation trading experience. Whether you're just starting out or refining your strategy, they give you the freedom to learn, grow, and explore new opportunities. Start your journey with Prime XBT. Trade responsibly, as it comes with risk. That's it for today. I was chatting with Pierre Clearadenhaus, Herenia Capital Advisors, yesterday. We're talking around those Pick and Pay results. Way back in Jan, I chatted with Pierre. His two stock picks were Sasol and Pick and Pay. Sasol doing great, Pick and Pay flat for the year. We asked you, is there value here? Pierre certainly hanging on. A little over 40% said you prefer others. A third said absolutely yes in time. The rest said, nope, you're buying Boxer instead. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, and Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, riding the resource wave. What's next for SA Equity?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.